Travis Schultz and Partners, providing cutting-edge expertise without the price tag. This is Ask the Expert with Beth Rolton.
Good morning, it's 8464CA. It is time to Ask the Expert. We do it thanks to Travis Schultz and Partners, lawyers right here in the CBD, special counsel with Travis Schultz and Partners, Beth Rolton. Good morning, Beth. Welcome back today.
Good morning, Murray. Thanks for having me.
I want to ask the expert. I mean, it is happening so much now, particularly after COVID, and it seems like it's actually working well for employees and employers. People working from home may not be every day, but certainly quite a few days a week. But just tell me about the safe obligation at work, at home type of obligation on an employer. I mean, surely an employer can't be invited or go into the house and check the ergonomics of the desk and where the wrist height is, the toilet's clean and there's no spills on the floor. Whereabouts are we about what's been a significant change in workplaces and that relationship between employers and employees in recent times?
Look, COVID has completely changed the workplace dynamic. We now realise that we can be very productive when working from home.
Yeah.
And even post all the lockdowns, 47% of Australian workers have elected to perform some of their work from a home setting. So it is real and it needs to be something that we're mindful of. When it comes to working from home and what an employer's obligation is to ensure that the work site is safe, because it doesn't matter whether you're working in an office, whether you're working in an external site, whether you're working from home, the obligation on an employer to ensure the safety of their workers while they're at work, no matter where they are, continues to exist. So I'm certainly not suggesting that employers should be barging into their employees' homes and doing an inspection every day and a risk assessment of the home, but they should be giving advice to their workers about what a safe work environment looks like.
There's actually a situation that involves domestic violence, and you know, it's just so hard to balance this up as an obligation and a liability of an employer when somebody actually gets killed at work because of a domestic violence situation. Tell me more about this.
So, well, since COVID's happened and since all the lockdowns have happened and people have been required to work from home, there've been a bit of an increase in claims made for people who've sustained injuries in the home environment and trying to stretch that home to the employer and saying, well, I'm doing my work duty, so therefore I should be covered by workers' compensation because I've injured myself undertaking my work duties. And in many of those cases, they've been successful. One of the decisions that came, it wasn't a Queensland decision, but it could have relevance in Queensland, is where a husband and wife were working from home, and in the course of that, the husband actually murdered the wife, and she was undertaking her work. And in that case, her dependent children brought a claim saying that, you know, it was a workplace injury, and they were successful in that. So it really, it's more about, not just about checking the ergonomics of the desk and that the chairs are the right height. You need to consider the mental well-being of your employees working from home, and whether if it is known to an employee that a worker is in a domestic violence situation at home, some kind of assessment of whether it is safe for that worker to continue working from home. So it really opens the floodgates, I guess, in a sense, as to what sort of considerations employers have to be aware of when they are allowing workers to undertake their duties in a home setting.
That's an amazing set of circumstances. Just that one that you've just talked about, the husband was obviously the employer. He was also the perpetrator. So it's an unusual set of circumstances. So I gather it was possibly the husband and the business that was liable for the death of the woman.
Well, I mean, if she was at work and she was murdered by her in a traditional office setting and she was murdered by her employer, then the same outcome would apply.
Yeah,
so just because it took place in a home setting didn't mean that she wouldn't be covered, because she was, the injury did occur in the scope of her employment.
What about if you have to go downstairs and get yourself some medicine, or you suddenly realise that you hadn't locked the front door downstairs? I believe this is a case, and it is a situation where it was actually deemed to be a responsibility, directly, indirectly, whichever way you want to look at it, of the employer.
So in that case, it was actually the same woman. On one occasion, she went downstairs.
Not the dead one.
A different lady. So she went downstairs firstly to get the medicine, and she fell down the stairs and sustained an injury. And on the second occasion, she had to go downstairs to check that the front door was locked. And that was actually a policy of the employer to ensure that when they are working from home, that their doors were locked. So on both occasions, she fell down the stairs. The first time they said, well, going to have medicine is akin to like going to a toilet or getting a glass of water, which are all things that you'd do in a normal day in the office or in the workplace. So it's no different at home. They're the necessities of nature that you have to get up and do those things. So they're included. And she was successful in that claim. Wow. And obviously the fall when she was locking the door because she was following a direct policy of the employer, she was also successful in saying, well, that is a work-related injury. So it doesn't necessarily mean that she would have a common law claim against her employer, but it did entitle her to workers' compensation benefits.
Yeah, right. And that's probably one of the key differences. It's not as if you're getting damages from a court. It's in relation to being protected as an employee. So quite different. But, you know, this has worked quite well. A lot of people, it works for both the employer and the employee. So coming back to coming and seeing the experts, talking to them about some of the things that if you're an employer in particular, to make sure you got your ducks in a row, written notification to the employee of particular things that are potential issues, so you don't have a situation where you could be basically repairing the steps, so to speak.
That's exactly right. So there's a lot of things that employers can do. They, like I said, that they can give advice about what a safe work environment looks like. Sometimes, and like we said, a lot of the work that is done from home tends to be office-based work because it's quite easy to do that in any environment. So it's something that does happen at home. So you want to make sure the monitors are at the right height, the chairs ergonomic. So the employer has a degree of control over that. And in some cases, they have offered the employee access to an ergonomics expert to come and do a site visit to check that their workstation at home is appropriate. Certainly, if you've sent your employee home and they're required to use their laptop, they don't have a workstation, they're sitting at a kitchen stool at the bench, it's not the right height, they're hunched over looking at a laptop, then they may find that they're responsible for those injuries and they could have a compensation claim against them for not providing that safe workstation in the home environment.
Incredible stuff. Good reason to go and talk to an expert about some of these specifics of what you should do, importantly to protect yourself as well. Travis Schultz and Partners, they're right here in town. Special counsel with the firm. Beth Rolton, thank you so much for your time this morning. Cheers.
Thanks very much, Murray.